Let's hear it for our Halal. And for Mary Ann and her small group. That was pretty amazing. Anybody need a tissue? No? Okay. You know, that's what we want for all of you here at New Hope. To be able to, we're a big church, you know, you can come and go and nobody knows, you know, we want you all to have a small group family in which you can have that love and support, you know. So we're going to be building our small groups ministry and we would love to have you be a part of that. Would you take out your notes? We're going to be talking about upgrading our relationships. And so if you would join me, I'd like to pray my favorite two-sentence prayer to ask God's blessing. Would you just repeat after me? Lord, speak to my heart and change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there was a very rich Texan who threw a big Texas bash for his only daughter, and he invited all of the eligible young men that he knew. And after this great party had been going on for a while, he called everyone out to the pool for an announcement. And what he did was he had all the young men line up at one end of this Olympic-sized pool, which to everyone's horror, they had found he had filled with poisonous water snakes and several very large alligators. And this is what he said. He said, to the first one of y'all who'll jump into this here pool and swim to the other end, I will give the choice of $1 million in cash or 1,000 acres of choice land or the hand of my daughter in marriage. And no sooner had he finished speaking than there was a big splash and this streak across the pool, and out of the other end emerged a young man who must have set an Olympic record. He didn't even look like an athlete, but he was out of the water and he was huffing and puffing, and the Texan walked up to him and said, well, son, do you want $1 million? And he goes, no, sir. He goes, well, son, do you want 1,000 acres of really choice land? And the young man goes, No, sir. Thank you. And he gets a big smile on his face, this text, and he goes, well then, son, you must want the hand of my daughter in marriage. And he goes, well, sir, no, sir, I really don't, but thank you. And the Texan gets his frown on his face and goes, well, son, what exactly is it that you do want? And the young man's just trying to catch his breath. He's about dead, and he's going, well, sir, all I really want, what I want, is to find out who pushed me into that pool. We all do such mean things sometimes, don't we? You know? We're here to talk about relationships. And what does it really boil down to? Relationships are all about how we treat each other. One person will do something really inconsiderate and hurtful to another, and then the person who was hurt, all they can think about is how to get back, to get some payback. And the cycle goes on and on and on throughout the ages through marital tiffs and world wars. And the bottom line, family, is in the course of this life, we all do all kinds of unkind things to one another, don't we? We really do. And so we have to build our walls of protection for ourselves, and then we wind up living behind them in pain and isolation. You think that's God's will for us? You think that's God's best? I don't think so. Would you read our main scripture together that's at the top of your notes? Ready? Go. For God Himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers throughout Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. See, God's will, God's heart for us is that we would truly love one another, that we would experience the kind of love that was demonstrated in this small group up here. Paul, as he writes to the church in Thessalonica, he's saying, God has taught you to love one another. He's shown you. He's really given you all you need, and now you're doing it. You're practicing it. You're doing really good. But don't settle for where you are. Excel still more. Love them even more. You ever wonder, you know, how much does God want? I'm doing good. What does He want? When is enough enough? Well, when it comes to love, when it comes to relationships, never. It can never stop growing. Enough is never enough. When love stops growing, it starts to grow stale. And when relationships start growing, they start to die. Because marriage and family, it's all about relationships. And the church, the body of Christ, it's all about relationships. And when you think about it, just life itself is all about relationships. So we're going to talk today about how to upgrade and excel still more in our relationships. And I'm going to be sharing four areas which God has shown me could really help us accomplish this. The first of which on your notes here is to upgrade my relationships, I need to, number one, understand why relationships are so important. Because if I don't understand that they're important, I'm not going to put the effort into them that's needed. It wouldn't be worth it. So why are relationships so important? We're going to look at that scripture under there from Psalm 133, and I'm going to give you a break. I'm going to let you rest. Sit back and just listen. I'm going to read this one to you. It says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." Then we're going to skip down to finish that thought. "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever." Do me a favor and underline that word unity in your notes there. And then put a circle around that word "there" in "for there the Lord" part. And then draw an arrow from the circle to that word unity. Because if you don't get that connection, you're going to miss the whole thing. See, for there, in that place of our unity with one another, that is the place where God has commanded His blessing to be, where He's commanded it to be poured out. Why are good and godly relationships with each other important? Because that's where God's blessing is, and we need His blessing and power and life released into our lives, right? And into our marriages and into the world around us. What are we talking about here when we talk about God's blessing? God is real, right? And His power is real. And we're talking about Him pouring His real stuff, His real power and life into our lives so that things can be made right, so that hurts can be healed, so that we can maintain harmony and peace in our families, and so that our loved ones will be drawn back who have gone astray, and to release financial blessing into our hands. All of the blessings of God, that's what we need in our lives, and they are real. How many know that when it comes to family, we all got our issues, yeah? I mean, we just do, you know? And how many know that what we are able to do to fix those things is usually not nearly enough? It's not. But the good news is God can do what we can't do. And if we can get to the place where He'll pour His blessings into our families, it can change everything. That's why, behold, it's good and right when we can get our relationships in order, because there the Lord commands the blessing. Family, it's time to upgrade our relationships. So what do you think are the top three problems that keep relationships from growing? We're going to do a top three list right now. Are you ready? Top three list. Drum roll. Number three. We're too selfish, right? We want to do what we want to do. We want what we want. And we can't get why other people don't get it. Why they don't understand and help us get what we want. You know, we're too selfish. And that's going to affect your relationships. Number two, we're too busy. We're maxed out and there's no room in our lives or our minds to even think about others, let alone give of ourselves and our time to our relationships, because we're just too busy. And that's going to hinder your relationships. And the number one reason why relationships are hindered is we're too tired. Because we've been too busy and we're too selfish. Sorry. Wouldn't that be pretty true though? So what are we going to do about these things? Well, on your notes, to upgrade my relationships, I need to, number two, I need to upgrade me. I need to upgrade me. It's got to start with me. Now, I'm not talking about what I was talking about last time I spoke about the me, 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 me. It's all about me thing, that self-focused obsession we have. No, I'm talking about an outward-focused upgrading of me so that I can give my best to my relationships and my best to God. Would you read with me that verse under number two? Ready? Go. "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more." The New American Standard says here, again, excel still more. Improve the way you live. Improve yourself. Let me ask you, since you've become a Christian, how many of you are better than you used to be? Absolutely. I know it. I see it in you. You know? But how many know as well that we still got a lot of growing to do, right? We got a long way to go. And that's what it's all about. God is here to say, you know what? I love you just the way you are. You've done really good. But come on, let's get with it, because we got more to go. We have a destiny to fulfill. And God's saying, let's get to it. Because the bottom line is how we are doing in our relation, how we're doing inside will greatly affect our relationships. You ever notice that? You know, when I'm doing good and I'm happy, man, everybody around me is great and everybody's doing really well. But if I'm not doing well, y'all better run for cover, because here I come, you know, I'm mad, I'm bad, and yeah. Sometimes the way we are can be real relationship killers. Consider the perpetually tired person. You know any of these people? They're just tired all the time. You know, just all the time. They're weary and they're worn out. And they usually get that really big cup of Starbucks, you know, but it's not doing any good. You know, so might as well save your money, you know. And, you know, who wants to be around? They're just so tired all the time. You know, it's like, oh, honey, the family's all here and it's our day off. What do you want to do today?
Oh, I just want to sleep. I don't want to do nothing. I just want to sit on this couch and be a vegetable, you know.
Woohoo, we're going to make some memories today, you know. But the fact is, tired people have little or nothing to give to anybody. How can they upgrade a relationship? And you know, when we're in that place, and we all get there sometimes, you know what we think? We're thinking this. Someday, things are going to slow down, and it's going to get better, and someday we're going to have some more time, and then we're going to have some fun, we're going to do some great things, and we'll make some memories. We'll go to Disneyland, you know? But you know what? Someday is an illusion of Satan. Someday is a day that never comes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It never comes. And so what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. We waste all that precious time, all those precious moments that relationships could have been built up, that memories could have been made, that a legacy could have been left, because we're so tired, we're trying to catch up, and we're waiting for someday. It's not good. On top of that, did you know that if you're tired all the time, that you are unable to be available and obedient to God? Think about that. That's really true. Because if he's trying to tell you something, you'll either miss it because you're too tired, or you'll convince yourself that there's nothing being said because you're too tired. It's not good. It's just not good. So what do you do if you're in this category? Well, you got to recognize your need and then get ready to take some radical steps, you know? Okay, so you're tired. How do you get untired? Why don't you try this? Get some sleep! You know? If you need more sleep, then be ruthless with your time and discipline yourself to get to bed at a reasonable time and really get some sleep. You know why? Because this is important. This is crucial. More important than what you're losing sleep over. And if you're tired because your health is bad or you're overweight or you're out of shape, then change your diet. Start getting a little exercise, because this is so important. And you know what? If no one else has changed and inspired by this message, I sure have been. You know, because when you study for stuff that you're going to preach, God just gets you. You know, he gets you first, right? So as I'm studying for this, I was just so convicted, because I am tired, man. And I'm tired all the time, and the Starbucks doesn't help, you know? And God just so convicted me, you know? He's given me such a wonderful family. My beautiful wife right there. Everybody look now. I've got three wonderful grown children who I'm so proud of. And I got my little adopted son, Joshua. He's 7 years old. And you know what? He needs a dad who's a whole lot more alive than dead. He deserves that. He really does. So about a week and a half ago, I made a decision. I made some radical dietary changes. One is I got off caffeine. And I'm okay. I really am. Okay. No, I really am. I lived. I lived. And I'm proud to say the chocolate chip cookie boy has left the building, you know? Because I got to lose some serious weight and get in shape and get my energy back, because I have some precious relationships I need to upgrade. And that's true for all of us. You know, our relationships and even our usefulness to God is at stake here. So go ahead, make some changes starting now and get the energy you need to give to your spouse and your kids and to serve God most of all. Serve God with all your heart. Now, there are so many potential areas in life where each of us probably have to upgrade. I mean, some people walk around like with a negative plague, you know. The negative plague is just like Eeyore personified. Oh, everything's bad and it's getting worse, you know. But the good news is it'll probably be worse tomorrow, you know. And let me tell you, stop it. We get it and we're trying to think of better things, you know. So we ask God to help you to renew your perspective, to renew your mind, because God has a wonderful plan for your life. Amen? You know, so get to God and ask Him to change you, and He will. Some people need to deal with character issues like dishonesty or arrogance or greediness or purity issues or anger issues or all kinds of emotional things or maybe even substance abuse issues, because all of those things can greatly affect our relationships. So what we do, it's time just to figure out what we need to do and get started on our upgrade. And you know what, family? Our community care department here is second to none, and they have all kinds of things that can help you with that. One of the best is Life Change, which is going to start in just a couple of weeks. You can still get in, where they will teach you how to recognize where you need to upgrade. They'll teach you how to bring it to God, and they'll show you how to allow God to come in and take those things out and change your life forever. You can sign up for Life Change today, and you'll really be glad you did. But you may be going, yeah, I know I need this. I know I need to change. But I've tried. I've really tried, and it doesn't work. I'm just me, and that's it. Well, I know. I understand those things. But all I'm asking you to do today is become aware of the areas you need to upgrade, and then take them to God, and then get some help. Look around for the help you need. But don't do anything before doing the next step, number 3 in your notes. I need to upgrade my relationship with God. This is huge. I need to upgrade my relationship with God. Why? Because we need God's power, right? We can't do this on our own. We might as well bang our heads against the wall instead. We can't do this on our own. But with His help, He can make things change. He can make things work. He can make it last. Would you read that scripture with me under number 3? This is Jesus Himself speaking to you. Ready? Go. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Yeah. You know what it's saying? It's saying you are a branch that needs to be in continual relationship and fellowship with Jesus, totally plugged into Him all the time. That's what abide means. It means you live there, right there. And what Jesus is saying is that if you're there, if you're in His presence, you're going to bear much fruit. And that means all kinds of wonderful things, but it would include the fruit of the Spirit that you find in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love instead of selfishness. Joy instead of gloom and negativity. Peace instead of anger. Patience instead of impatience. Kindness instead of unkindness. Goodness instead of ungoodness. Gentleness instead of harshness. Faithfulness instead of unfaithfulness. And self-control instead of out of control. You think those things could improve our relationships? Are you kidding? They could change everything. They could transform our relationships. We need this so much. But let that last phrase ring in your ear. It says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Would you repeat that with me? For apart from me, you can do nothing. Get it in you one more time. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to thank the Academy and my mother and father. No. I'm... I want you to help me out here and visualize something. I want you to visualize that this isn't just a tree limb, but this is a vine that goes all the way around and is rooted in the ground somewhere, okay? He is the vine and we are the what? The branches, okay? How many know that the branch needs to be stuck in the vine to live, right? We know this. We know it really well. But the problem we have is, although we know that we need to stay connected to the vine, the problem is we're itchy little branches. We're self-focused little branches. And we want to do what we want to do. And so a lot of times we just do it. Woohoo! I'm free. I'm on my own. And we go off and we do it. And you know, we unplug and we go, whoa, I got away with it. I'm still here. I'm still alive. And I can do my own thing for a little while. And then I can come back. But how many know the longer you're out here, the harder it is to come back? But that's okay, because we convince ourselves it's okay, because we are not like ordinary branches. We're super branch. And what would affect ordinary branches won't harm us, because we're super branch. And because we're super branch, we not only can go off for a little while, but I believe I can fly. And there we go, off on our own self-directed adventure, further and further and further away from the vine, where we need to be. Now, I'm not saying we're just going off into outright sin when we do that. I mean, maybe we are. But a lot of times, you know, we'll go off, we'll bust out, and we'll go off and do very noble things, right? But the problem is, we're over there, and the vine is over here. So what we're doing over there is in our own strength and our own power. And how many know that's just going to wear you down? How many know when you go away from here that the enemy is going to mess with you and beat you up? And sooner or later, you figure it out that you got to come back. And so here you come. I've fallen and I can't get up. A little help, please. A little help. Can anybody relate to this? What has happened is we have become the next verse in that passage. Verse 6. Would you read it with me? Ready? Go. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and what? Dries up. Listen, family, the moment we stop abiding and remaining in Jesus and take off on our own for any reason, good or bad, we have disconnected ourselves from the source of all life, all power, all strength, all protection. And you got to know right there, it's not going to be pretty, you know? The process may take a while. Once you're disconnected, you start dying, but it doesn't come like that. You know, too bad, but it doesn't. So you think you're getting away with it for a while, but the moment you disconnect is the moment you start drying out. And you know what? Does anybody feel like this, you know? You know what, family? I believe that many of us live in various states of this most of the time. Drying out, with less and less to give to other people, and forgetting that God has so much more for us and wants to do so much more through us. When we settle for this, and it should not be so. How can we upgrade anything when we're like this? And the answer is we can't. But the good news is for us that unlike this dead branch that can never be plugged back into the vine, you and I can be plugged back in anytime we will make that choice, right? According to 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. According to Acts 3:19, that says, repent and return and find times of refreshing in the presence of the vine or of the Lord. We can do that. And then once we're plugged back in, we can stay there and we can continue to abide by getting into our daily devotions and journaling and then just praising and worshiping the Lord all day long. You know, just sing some of those songs in your heart. It'll change your day. And talking to Jesus in worship. How many know that He lives in you? How come you ignore Him? You know? How rude. Talk to him. Share with him. Be with him. And then take him with you wherever you go. To work, to school, to wherever. And then you will be fully connected. And then you will be where you need to be, where he can pour his power and his life into you. He can help you with whatever you're doing. He can help you with all the upgrades you need. And he can also give you the biggest tool that you're going to need to upgrade your relationships. And that's number 4 in your notes. I need to upgrade my love. I need to upgrade it to God's version of love. I've said it before. You'll hear me say it again many times. The Christian life is all about love. Loving God and loving one another. How many have ever heard that before? Absolutely. We all know this really well. Our problem comes in the execution of it. Amen? You know? And I believe one of the problems is we got to get something straight. You know what it is? What is love? I mean, really, what is love, you know? I remember back in school, they taught me that if you don't understand the meaning of a word, it really helps if you can put it in a sentence, and then it'll help you know the meaning. So let's do that with the word love. You ready? Here we go. I love dogs. I do. I love pizza. I love cars. Ooh, I love that car right there. Honey, I love you. So what does love mean now? No wonder we're confused. No wonder our relationships need help. You know? If you love your spouse like you love pizza, you're in trouble. And your marriage is in serious trouble. Let's see, my spouse or pizza? I don't know, I'm so torn. I love them both, you know? Which will it be? And don't even say pizza. And if you even thought of saying pizza, it just goes to show you how badly our relationship needs upgrading, see? But what is love? I remember when I was younger, I heard this definition, and maybe some of you are old enough to remember it. Love is a feeling that you feel like a feeling that you never felt before. Deep. Yeah. I don't know what that means, but you know what? I remember the feeling. I remember that feeling. Anybody else remember the feeling where you get all goofy, you know? And then you lose your appetite, quickly followed by you lose your mind. Yeah. That's not love, okay? It's a very powerful feeling. You know what it is? It's called attraction. A strong emotional pull that draws you in closer and closer to someone. Like in those Star Trek movies, you know, when the Klingon spaceship has the spaceship Enterprise and its tractor beam and it's drawing it in, it's against its will, and Scotty's going, "Captain, I kind of hold her back," you know, that. I remember going through that stage with my wife, Linda. Dude, I was so caught in her tractor beam. It was just like, you know. And I remember one night, I was working these crazy hours as an x-ray tech at St. Francis Hospital. And I was working 3 p.m. to 11:30 p.m., but the next morning I had to be back to work at 7 a.m. I don't even think that's legal anymore. But anyway, that's the way it was. And I just finished. It was 11:30. I just had a really tough night. The emergency room was screaming. The intensive cares were screaming. It was just a hard night. I was really tired. I knew I had to be back to work in less than 8 hours, but that tractor beam was pulling me, and all I wanted to do is be with my little Linda. So I got on my motorcycle, and I rode past my house, and I go, "You should turn here, you should turn here, you should," and I didn't. I just kept going. All the way to her house in Kuli'o'o. She lived on the second floor of a 2-story duplex house in Kuli'o'o. The landlord lived downstairs, okay? And when I got there, much to my dismay, all the lights were out. The landlord was in bed asleep. Her and her kids were up in bed asleep. Oh, so sad. So what did I do? Did I go home like a sensitive, intelligent adult? No. Well, John, did you call her on your cell phone? Great idea. Except we didn't have cell phones 30 years ago, thank you. So I did the next best thing. I walked under her darkened window, right next to the landlord's bedroom window, and I picked up some pebbles, and I tried to tap them off her window like an idiot. Thank God I didn't break a window. And finally she heard those things. She woke up. She got up. She opened the window, and her heart was leaping, I'm sure. And she looked out with the most tender tones and said, "What are you doing? Are you nuts?" But she got dressed and came out because she had it really bad for me. Anyway. And we sat out on those steps and we talked for 2, maybe 3 hours. And then I got back on my motorcycle and drove home for a couple hours sleep. What's that all about? That's attraction. It makes you do loving things, but it's not love. It's attraction. And the difference is, with attraction, it's all about me. It's all about how good she makes me feel. It's all about how much I like her and I want her. And that's not bad for starters, you know, but it's not love, not yet. Fortunately for me, it developed into love and resulted in marriage, which has lasted 30 years. So far, so good, okay? But, yeah. But unfortunately for many of us, it's in that attraction stage that many of us get stuck in our relationships. It never stops being about me. And that's tragic. And I want to take it out of the love man-woman relationship. Just put it into all of our relationships. Many today live in the same place that as long as you are good to me, as long as you're fun to be around, that this relationship is beneficial to me, everything's great. Let's keep going. But then the moment things get a little bad, if there's a hurt, if there's a misunderstanding that gets out of control, then it's like, forget it, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I don't need this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Let's face it, a lot of us live there. And relationships are broken and damaged all over the place all the time. In families and at work and even at church, even in the body of Christ, his body gets torn apart because our relationships can be so fragile sometimes that they're just one good disagreement away from destruction. Family, we got to upgrade our relationships. How can we do that? We need to get God's love in operation in our lives and begin pouring that into those relationships. Would you really read that scripture with me? John 15, 12 and 13. Jesus is still speaking, by the way, and he says, ready, go. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. That's God's kind of love. He laid down his life so you and I could have life. He gave his all for us. And he's commanding us now. Look at that. It says, this is my commandment. He is commanding us to love more like that, to do a whole lot more giving and a lot less taking. He wants us to start living a life that gladly lays down its life, its rights, its wants, its needs for other people. And the operative word there is gladly. It's not like begrudgingly saying, okay, fine, we'll do what you want to do. Fine, I did it, okay? No, he's not talking about that. What he's talking about is a really significant thing. It's the death of myself. It's the death of me, man, center of the universe. That guy's got to die. You know, in men's fraternity, we're learning a lot of things. And I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell you because it's like men's fraternity, you know, secret. But what the heck? Okay. Jesus says in a number of places in the Bible, he says, if you keep grabbing hold of your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, or lay down your life, or die to yourself a little bit, for my sake, you're going to find it. Real God-quality, fulfilling life, you're going to find. And you know what, family? That principle holds true in every area of our lives. So if you die, you lay down your life for your wife's sake, for her benefit, you're going to find more of God's life in your marriage. And if you lay down your life for your children and give them the time and the attention that they need, you know what? You're going to find more of God's life and blessing there as well. The answer is you got to die to live. That's God's principle. You die to live. Jesus showed us that, and it works. It's God's love. We got to determine no more pizza love in our relationships. We got to let God's love shine, right? How does that happen? I'm going to give you three quick ways. The first is this. Make sure you're doing number three in your notes, which is focusing on and upgrading your relationship with God. That is crucial. Because you know what? As you're pressing into Him in His presence, as you're learning to abide with Him, as you're spending time with Him daily in the Word and walking through life with Him, you know what? As you hang out with Jesus, you will become more and more like Him. Hey, it's the same in our human relationships. How much more with the one who designed us to be conformed to His image? Second way you get God's love going in your life, this is a very complex one. You ready for this? Ask Him. Who? Who would have thought of that? But you know, you have not because you ask not is what the Word says, right? And I'm learning that I can go to God with all of my junk and just be real with Him. Because you know why? He knows already. It's not like you're giving up anything, you know? So you go to God and say, God, I don't know how to love like you want me to love. As a matter of fact, I don't love my wife. I don't love my kids like I should. I only love me, and I don't know how to stop doing that. And I just need your help, Lord. Heal me. Pour your love into me. Set it free in my relationships and change my world. You can go to God and ask Him that. You think that's a prayer that's according to His will? Uh-huh. That means He's going to answer it. That's what the Word promises. And the third way you can get God's love going in your life is to go practice it. Just do it. You know why? And you've got to remember this, and you can write it in the bullet under number four. Love is not a feeling. It's an action word. That's what God's love is. You go out there and you practice His love. You lay down yourself and you love and care for someone else. Your wife, your kids, your husband, your neighbors, your friends at church. You know, I saw a great t-shirt once that said on the back this very potent statement. It said, the tiniest act of love actually done is greater than all good intentions combined. Isn't that heavy? Isn't that true? We have all the best intentions in the world, don't we? Yeah, I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do this. But only the things that get done is love. Think about it. People around you are dying for real love. A few decades ago at an Eastern European hospital, a set of twins was born to a single mother who died during the delivery. There was no family, nobody to give the children to. They were both very sickly, and the doctors decided to do a little research because they didn't know what else to do. So they took one sickly infant and they put him in the nursery and instructed the staff to hold him as much as possible, to talk to him, to interact with him, to feed him, to cuddle him, to just love him in every way they could. The other one they put in a germ-free, sealed, an incubator. Put the baby in the jar. No, an incubator. Where the only contact he had was by gloved hands through the portal. He was fed, got all his medicine, everything he needed through the portals. About a month later, the baby in the nursery that was held and loved was better, almost totally well. But the one in the incubator, day by day by day, grew weaker and weaker and weaker. He was getting all the food he needed. He was getting all the medicine he needed, but finally he died. And the conclusion in that hospital was, maybe man's needs aren't just food and water, but maybe man's greatest need is love and to be loved. People are dying for that love. There's a Spanish story about a father and son who were having really bad relationship problems. And the son ran away. And his father, who loved him so much, went off to search for him for months to no avail. He couldn't find him. And finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper, and the ad read like this: Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. So the ad went out. Saturday came. You know what happened? Paco showed up. As a matter of fact, 800 Pacos showed up to find love and forgiveness from their fathers. Now, it's funny, but it's not funny, you know? I mean, the need for real love and acceptance and forgiveness has been built into every person by God Himself, and people are dying to find it. You know what else? Maybe some people in our own homes are dying to find it. Ooh. Don't worry, don't let that beat you up. God has all the forgiveness you need, and He's got all the power to fix your every mistake. But let God's word today to you kick you and inspire you to rise up and get Him to fill you with His love and begin to pour that love into your relationships and do something about what He's calling you to do, because He has all the resources right there for you right now. Because God's call for all of us is to go and to be vessels of His love, to be dispensers of His love wherever we go, by laying down our lives and our selfishness and loving and serving other people. And you know what? Maybe that doesn't sound like the most fun in the world, but it is in that dying that you will find the most abundant life you ever dreamed possible. And you know what else? God's kind of love, when it's poured out that way, that love works miracles. It absolutely works miracles. You love people like that, it's like pouring value into them. And you absolutely break the hold of Satan, that bondage of low self-worth that they've been trapped in maybe for years. And you set them free to achieve the amazing potential that God Himself has placed in them. Loving your spouse and your kids and your friends and the people around you brings them into the place where their God-given potential is unlocked. And they're set on the path to go and find His will for their lives. You know, Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples when you love with my kind of love. And you are never more like Jesus when you're doing that, when you're loving and laying down your life like that. How many here know that God is calling you to upgrade your relationships? Amen, that's good. Don't let this slip by you. Because we got to understand how important our relationships are so that we will build unity, because there the Lord commands a blessing and we need that blessing. And then we need to upgrade ourselves, because how we are doing inside will greatly affect our relationships. And then we got to remember to upgrade our relationship with God and not to be a broken off branch that's running around drying out, right? But to let His power, His strength, His everything fill us so that we'll have something to give into those relationships. And finally, we need to upgrade to God's love. No more pizza love in our relationships. All God's love. And the motto is, die to live. Say that. Die to live. Are you ready for that? I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that You showed us the way, that You died on that cross so that we could live, so that You would forgive us of all our sins, so that we could find new life, Lord, and so that we could become vessels of Your love to be able to spread Your kingdom to others all around us. Heavenly Father, as we present ourselves to You this morning, we say, come in and forgive us, Lord, for all of our sins and failures. Forgive us, fix what is wrong, Lord. Help us to rise up. Fill us with Your Spirit and empower us, Lord, to upgrade, to be able to know Your love and to spread it around to others, Lord. And may the relationships in our lives be transformed because of this decision we're making today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Would you keep your heads bowed, eyes closed for just a minute? Because there might be someone here who has never received that original gift, that very first touch of Jesus, and said, yes, Lord, I want what You have done for me. You died on the cross for me, even though I didn't realize it before. If you want to receive His gift of eternal life, if you want to receive His power to love with His love and change the relationships all around your world, would you just lift your hand up now and just say, yes, I want to receive Jesus. I want that relationship with Him, so that I can upgrade all the relationships in my mind. Thank You so much. Thank you. God is so happy to see those hands. They can bring your hands down. And family, would you join with these and pray the prayer that just says, yes, I want to receive Jesus into my life. Would you repeat after me? Father God, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So I ask you to come into my life. I give it all to you right now. Forgive me my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your power. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Would you give a hand to these who have just given their lives to the Lord Jesus? And if you have done that for the very first time, we have a gift for you. We have a yes pack out by the concierge table and around. It's got a Bible and things for you. But God bless you. We want to see you walk in the power of God.
Holy is the Lord.
Would you please stand up?
The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord.
May God's blessing and protection and provision be on you all. And now go forth as carriers of God's love.